News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, families of the 22 people murdered in the Manchester Arena bombing have criticised MI5 following the publication of the final parts of the public inquiry.
And we won't rest until all those who played a role in their deaths are brought to justice.
Caroline Curry's 19-year-old son Liam was killed in the blast. The report found the security service missed a significant opportunity to act and that might have been enough to have prevented the attack in 2017. It's concluded intelligence received months beforehand was not acted upon quickly enough. Here's the Metropolitan Force's head of counter-terrorism, Matt Jukes.
I pledge that alongside MI5, we'll act quickly to apply the findings of today's reports.
22 people lost their lives at the Ariana Grande concert when Salman Abedi detonated his suicide device. Richard Scorer represents 11 of the victims' families. He says the report was deeply painful to read.
But it is now very clear that there was a failure to properly assess key intelligence about Salman Abedi. A failure to put it into proper context and, most catastrophic of all, a delay in acting on it.
The Home Secretary says she'll work with the security services to learn the lessons from the terror attack. Elsewhere, police believe a baby found in woodland near Brighton may have been dead for some time. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon, who were arrested on Monday after being missing for 2 months, are still being questioned on suspicion of gross negligence manslaughter. Conservative MPs have attacked Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer's decision to appoint Sue Gray as his new chief of staff. The civil servant came to public attention when she led the inquiry into Downing Street lockdown parties when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. And Pret's the latest firm to hand out a third pay rise in a year. It means the average pay for workers at the sandwich chain's up 19% in the last 12 months, almost double January's inflation figure. That's the latest. I'm Emily Hume.
This is Phoenix FM.
All right, sorry about that. It's 2 minutes past seven. Thanks to Bell and Sperling for the last hour. My name's John Chubb, and this is the Non-League Hour. Very good evening to you.
On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that the tap was loaded. Seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. What else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah, I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand. I went to the flagship of the shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked.
we start off with a little musical tribute this week. Seem to be doing more and more of those these days. It's very sad, really. But some sad news came through today that Steve Mackey, who was the bass player in Pulp for some years, Sheffield-born light lead singer Jarvis Cocker, that's where the band was formed as long ago as the 80s, actually. Steve Mackey has sadly died at the age of 56. And that song, which shot to number one back in 1995, was one of the many Pulp songs which he played bass on, later worked as a producer as well. Arcade Fire was one of the acts he worked with, I know. So played that as a little tribute to Steve Mackey this evening. So a very good evening to you. It's the Non-League Hour on Phoenix 98 FM, our weekly look at the non-league football clubs across Essex and East London. We go through the results from the last week. We look at the fixtures ahead. We look at the transfer news going on, and sometimes we have reports as well. Got a couple of reports on matches this evening, so here we go.
Spend some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
98 FM.
I'm going to talk first about Southend United, the ongoing saga of events there. The club could have got out of business yesterday because it was the deadline yesterday for them paying a £1.4 million tax bill to HM Revenue and Customs. And yesterday, the club was in the High Court facing a winding up hearing for the umpteenth time, it must be said. But on the eve of the court appearance on Tuesday, club chairman Ron Martin settled the tax bill, and the club therefore survives, at least for the time being. Martin had been understood to be seeking bridging funding of about £5 million to cover the club's debts. A club statement said the club's objective is to regain its future as a club within the Football League at the earliest opportunity. But things remain up in the air, and supporters groups are still very concerned about the club's future. Some had begun discussions about forming a Phoenix club. Such was the concern that yesterday could have been the end of Southend United. And as people have been saying for a long, long time now, it all rests on the redevelopment of the sale and redevelopment of Roots Hall for housing, and a move to a new stadium of Fossett's Farm, which is what the club, Martin and the club, have been looking to do for years now. Martin has been insistent that he won't let the club be wound up. The players have now received their wages for January. They received them earlier this week, I think it was, or it was late last week, and they have been paid for February. But many of the office staff at the club are still working unpaid. Some haven't been paid since November, and the club is still under a transfer embargo, although they did manage to extend the loan from Championship club Stoke City of goalkeeper Blondie Nanuku for another week, with the other two keepers at the club being injured. Fans were hoping that the embargo would be lifted with the club in such a strong position on the field, so that he could strengthen their squad in their chase for the playoffs. But the restriction remains in place, and a lot of fans still want Martin to sell the club. But the team themselves and the management team are continuing to perform minor miracles on the field, and they had a 2-1 win at struggling Torquay United on Saturday, thanks to goals from Callum Powell in the first half. He's got a great goal, his first one since November. Torquay equalised 5 minutes from time through Lewis Collins, but Cav Miley scored in injury time to give the Shrimpers all 3 points. Elsewhere in the National League on Saturday, this was early Saturday evening because the game was on TV, Dagenham and Redbridge faced, on the face of it, a very difficult trip to promotion chasing Notts County, but they pulled off a tremendous 2-1 win. They'd only parted company with manager Darryl McMahon the night before, remember, and his former backroom team, ex-Charlton Athletics stalwart Steve Gritt and Dave Jupp, were in charge on Saturday. Notts County scored after 21 minutes. 10 minutes later, Angelo Balanta equalised for the Daggers, and there was a late winner, 4 minutes from time, from Iniefion, which gave the Daggers all 3 points. No such luck for Dagenham Redbridge on Tuesday night, though they had another trip, this time to Maidenhead United, and they ended up losing that match by 2-1. Sam Ling gave the Daggers the lead after 25 minutes, but Ashley Nathaniel George replied 7 minutes later, and in the 35th minute, former Southend United striker Emil Aqua scored what turned out to be a winner for Alan Devonshire's side. So looking at the table, Southend at the moment still hanging there in the playoff spots. They are seventh. They've played 32 and they're on 53. Daggers, they're 10th. They've played 34 and they're on 48 points. Wrexham, currently top of the league. Incidentally, Dagenham Redbridge face them next Tuesday at Victoria Road. Played 34 and won 84. Game in hand over second place Notts County, who were leaders, and partly because of that defeat, but the Daggers have dropped a second. They've played 35 and won 83. Woking, Barnet, Chesterfield and Eastleigh at the other side in the playoff spots. At the other end of the table, Maidstone probably up the table, followed by Scunthorpe, Torquay and Wickham Wanderers.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. 98 FM.
So moving on to the National League South, and Chelmsford City had a difficult task on Saturday. They faced Ebbsfleet United, the runaway leaders, and Ebbsfleet won that match at Melbourne Park by 1-0. Braintree Town, meanwhile, they picked up a useful 3 points away to Farnborough. They won a penalty 10 minutes from time, and Alfie Matthews scored what turned out to be the only goal of the game, but it was a disastrous afternoon for Concord Rangers, who slipped to the bottom of the table. They hosted Weymouth, who were bottom at the start of play at the Aspect Arena, and Weymouth thrashed them by 5-0 to send Rob Small's side to the foot of the table. They were on 29 points. They've played 29 and are on 27 points. The thing that does count for them is they've got games in hand on the other three sides in the drop zone. Hungerford, who have played 32 and have the same amount of points. Weymouth, now on 28, they've played 32. And Chippenham Town, who are 21st, they've played 31 and they're on 30. At the other end of the table, Braintree still just above Chelmsford in the playoff spots. They've both played 34, Braintree on 58, Chelmsford on 55. They met again on Monday in the Essex Senior Cup, but more of that in a while. Great track from the mid-1980s. Before we take a look at the ESPN League, this is Propaganda and Duel.
Face to face with their own disillusion.
20 minutes past 7 on a Tuesday night. You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM. I'm John Chubb and this is the Non-League Hour. Good to have you along. So, taking a look back at what happened in the ESPN League Premier Division on Saturday, Billericay Town travelled to Lewes and picked up a point in a 1-1 draw. The home side took the lead after 36 minutes, but just after the hour, Karim Iziaka equalised for Billericay to give him a share of the spoils. Also drawing on Saturday were Canvey Island, who picked up a goalless draw away to struggling Corinthian Casuals. There was a win for Hornchurch, who went to Cray Wanderers and picked up all 3 points thanks to goals from Adi Yusuf and Chris Dixon either side of half time. And there was also a win for Avely, who travelled to relegation threatened Herne Bay and 1-2-1. Tom Stephen gave the Millers an early lead. Herne Bay equalised a minute later, but Avely won a penalty 22 minutes from time, and Siju Odelusi scored to give them a 2-1 win. But there was more woe for struggling Bowers and Pitsy, who travelled to Kingstonian, and they lost 1-0. So, after a couple of midweek fixtures, none of which involved Essex clubs, Bishop Stortford, still top of the table, 66 points. Avely snapping at their heels, though, although they've played one more, they're only 3 points behind them on 63. Hornchurch, they could quite easily regain the top spot because they've only played 30 and they're on 62. Just behind them, Enfield Town played 31, 56 points, and Canvey Island make up the playoff spots. They've played 31 and they're on 55. Billericay 12th after that draw at Lewes, played 33 and on 48 points. At the other end of the table, Bowers and Pitsy still in the drop zone, and they are now 6 points from safety. They've played 33 and they're on 24. Kingstonian, next side above them, who beat them on Saturday, and they've played 32 and on 30. Below Bowers, Herne Bay, Community and Casuals and Brightling Sea Region. Incidentally, Brightling Sea parted company with their manager earlier this week, Brett Munyard, the former manager of Essex Senior League club White Ensign, has left, and they are therefore looking for a new boss. So, on to the ESPN North, and on Saturday, our featured match on Phoenix Sport was a quite extraordinary affair at the Len Salmon Stadium, where Hashtag United, top of the table, and they've had an incredible run of wins. They took on second-placed AFC Sudbury, and there to describe all the action for us was Andy Gardner.
It has finished here in the big game at the Len Salmon Stadium. Hashtag United 3, AFC Sudbury 2. Wow, what a game. And this match of the day in the region certainly lived up to its billing. This game had everything, definitely. Probably the best I've seen this season. And it was settled by the experienced duo of Max Cornhill and Greg Halford. Sudbury, a lot of damage was caused to them in the first 20 minutes. Max Cornhill coolly side-footing the home side in front after 9 minutes. And just a few minutes later, it was two. Percy Kiangbani, nice footwork, was brought down by Joshua Pollard for a penalty. No doubts about that. And the veteran Greg Halford, formerly of Colchester and Billericay, stepped up to coolly convert the penalty spot to make it 2-0. And Sudbury's day got even worse after 20 minutes when Josh Stokes was given a straight red card for what looked like a kick out on a player from the home side, Emmanuel Kunja, and we had a touchline melee, and also coming from that was a yellow card for Kunja, a straight red, of course, for Stokes. After that, though, Sudbury were actually the better team for large spells, better with 10 men. They should have pulled one back before half-time. A couple of chances for Zachariah Hassan and another one from the league's top scorer, Namdi Nwachukwu. Second half, full credit to Sudbury, came flying back out of the traps. A free kick just after the interval from Reece Harris, which went over the bar, hit the bar, actually, and went over the top. But just 4 minutes after that, they were back in the game. Some good work from Ben Hunter down the right, stood up across for the back post, and there was that man, Nwachukwu, to pull one back, 2-1. And after it has. Two minutes. Hashtag had a chance with Toby Aramalaran firing over the top. But after 65, it was all square. Sudbury's comeback looked to be complete, and it was a corner which somehow evaded most of the defenders, and it went to the back post where Joshua Pollard was lurking, and he squeezed it in to make it 2-2. And they were the better team at that point, but they did run out of steam eventually. Hashtag came back into it, and that Toby Aramalaram again with a volley which got deflected wide. And then we had the winner, which came 16 minutes from time. Jermaine Francis standing up a back post cross. And there was the veteran Halford to head into the corner. 3-2, hashtag. Then we had a series of yellow cards. Sudbury couldn't really make much of their chances. And in stoppage time, we had a second Sudbury red card. This one going to Joe Grimwood, who was the last man bringing down Kiang Bini, and he saw red. So Sudbury ended the day with 9 men. They had one final chance on 95 minutes, substitute Josh Mayhew heading over the top, but that was as close as it came. But what a thrilling game, and a real blow to Sudbury's title hopes. They've been leading the league for most of the season, but now they find themselves 7 points behind hashtag, albeit with a game in hand. And this was incredibly hashtag's 18th straight win in a row, and with just 8 games to go, they are odds on favourites now for the Isthmian North title. So a thrilling afternoon. It had everything in front of 850 fans. It has finished hashtag United 3 AFC Sudbury 2.
Sorry about that report stopping in the middle there, a bit of a technical hitch, but we got there in the end. So hashtag's incredible run continues, and they remain at top of the table. Elsewhere, at the Brentwood Centre Arena, it finished Brentwood Town 1, Cockeshall Town 1. Stan Leach gave Cockeshall the lead before Matt Cripps equalised 7 minutes before half time. It was a win for Grays Athletic. They beat local rivals Tilbury by 2-0, thanks to goals either side of half time for Roman Campbell and Callum Watts. A goalless draw between bottom side, Great Wakering Rovers and Malden and Tiptree at Burroughs Park. Good win for Haybridge Smith. They beat New Salamis by 3-0, thanks to goals from Rob Harvey, Sam Carter and Matt Price. It finished Holbridge Sports 1, East Surrey United 2. Holbridge took the lead 5 minutes before half-time through Martin Zerohi, but second half goals from Jack Hayes and Alex Hernandez gave the Rocks all 3 points. Heavy defeat for Witham Town at Lowestoft Town, who lost by 4-0, but an excellent 3 points for Basildon United, who travelled to Stowmarket and won by 1-0, thanks to a second half strike from Shane Temple. There were some more games on Tuesday night, and it was another 3 points for Basildon, who beat Tilbury 3-1 at Gardiner's Coat. close. Shane Temple again, Anisius Lewis and Daniel McCulloch were the scorers for the Bees. Charlie Heatley replied for Tilbury 7 minutes from time, but it finished Basildon 3, Tilbury 1. And Brentwood Town picked up their first win since Craig Shipman returned as manager a couple of weeks ago. They won 2-0 at Bury Town thanks to goals from Solomon Ogunwumoju after 24 minutes and a late goal from Flavio Yumu in the 6 minute of injury time at the end of the second half gave Brentwood a 2-0 victory. So, hashtag, as I said, remaining top 7 points clear of AFC Sudbury now. Hashtag played 29 on 76. Sudbury played 28 on 69. Followed by Lowestoft in third, Phoenix Dunwalton in fourth, Haybridge Smith still in the playoff spots in fifth. They've played 29 on 53. Followed by Grays, who are on 20, have played 28 and are on 52. East Thurrock eighth. Brentwood are up to 10th after that win the other night. Maldon Tiptree in 13th. Basildon 14th, Witham 15th. In the relegation playoff spots, you've got Tilbury in 17th and Holbridge Sports in 18th. Bottom two, as you were, Coggeshall Town in 19th, and at the bottom of the table, Great Wakering Rovers. So to take a quick look at the Southern League Division 1 Central, and there was a win for Walthamstow. What a game they had at Ware on Saturday. They ended up winning 6-4. Absolutely extraordinary stuff. And Walthamstow's manager, Nicky Ironsom, has quoted as saying after the game that he's never been involved in a game like that in his life. And he's someone who's been in the game for a very long time as a player and a manager, possibly goes back to the late 1970s, I think. So he's probably not exaggerating when he says that. Not such a good afternoon for Waltham Abbey. They were beaten 2-0 at Biggleswade Town. But Abbey got all 3 points on Tuesday night when they travelled to Welling Garden City and just above them in the league, and they won 1-0. And Walthamstow also won on Wednesday night. Excellent 1-0 win away at Kidlington, and that has taken Stowe up to the fourth spot. They're in the playoff spots now. They played 27 and they're on 47. Berkhamsted, almost certain to be promoted. They're runaway leaders. They played 27 and 171, followed by Biggleswade and Didcot Town. Walthamstow in fourth, as I say, and Ware in fifth. They've played the same amount of games as Stowe, and they're 1 point behind them. Waltham Abbey still with an outside chance of getting into the playoff spots themselves. They're currently ninth, but they've played 26. They've got a game in hand on the next five teams in the league, and they're on 40 points. So if they've got a decent run together, they could certainly force their way in there themselves. Now, on Monday night, I was at Melbourne Park for an Essex Senior Cup final where Chelmsford City played their local National League South rivals, Braintree Town, and attracted a very good crowd, actually. There was 943 turned up at Melbourne for this one, and you can hear my full-time report on the game now.
In tonight's Essex Senior Cup semi-final, it's finished Chelmsford City 0, Braintree Town 1. So Braintree go through to the Essex Senior Cup final after a first half goal from Matt Rush proved enough to knock out their hosts and fierce local rivals Chelmsford City. With both clubs jostling for a National League South playoff spot, this was always likely to be a keenly contested encounter, and the first real chance fell to Chelmsford in the 6th minute when a Tom Blackwell cross from the right found ahead of Simeon Jackson in the box, but his effort was saved by Braintree goalkeeper Jack Sims. With 12 minutes gone, the home side by the free kick following a handball, and Calder Costa's strike was only narrowly wide of the target. Then with 20 minutes gone, Blackwell went close for the Clarets when he attempted to round Sims but was flagged for offside. Blackwell, arguably Chelmsford's best player on the night, had a further chance when Braintree and former Southend United captain John White handled outside the area and took the resulting free kick, which only just missed the top corner of the net. But it was the visitors who took the lead in the 23rd minute when, completely against the run of play, ex-Claret Rush was presented with an opportunity which he fired past City keeper Jacob Marsden, and it was 1-0 to the Iron, much to the delight of the sizeable away following. Just after the half-hour mark, a long ball from Wyatt found its way to centre-forward Joseph Bochy, who fired his short wide, but it was his side that led 1-0 at the break. With almost 10 minutes into the second half gone, Chelmsford appeared to have a reasonable case for a penalty when Blackwell went down in the box, but referee Lloyd Wood was having none of it and waved play on, one of a number of questionable decisions made during the evening. Shortly afterwards, the lively Blackwell had a great chance from a header, which only just went wide, following an excellent cross from the right flank by Jazzy Barnum-Bob. But Barnum-Bob nearly scored a calamitous own goal with 68 minutes on the clock, when his straight back pass, which was heading for his own net, was only just cleared off the line by Marsden. With 15 minutes left, City came as close as they had to an equaliser in the second half, when a Kyrie-Earn cross was met by Clamett skipper Jackson, whose header was narrowly wide to the right of Sims. Some acts of gamesmanship from the Iron were largely responsible for the 6 minutes in injury time that were added by referee Wood. And when the Claverts won a corner in the 93rd minute, keeper Marsden, who had come up the field, headed not far over opposite number Sims' bar. But Braintree held on and will face either Concord Rangers or Hornchurch in the final to be played at Colchester United's Community Stadium on Tuesday the 21st of March. Chelmsford were let down by their failure to take the game to a side they should have been capable of at least matching, and their inability to properly test Ironkeeper Sims all night.
Join me, Andy Gardner, every Monday on Phoenix 98 FM at 6 to 8pm for Under the Radar, playing the week's new independent and alternative releases from across the globe.
So Braintree went through to the final of the Essex Senior Cup, as you just heard from me. And on Tuesday night, the other semi-final took place at the Aspect Arena, and Concord put their very disappointing defeat against Weymouth on Saturday behind them. When they faced Hornchurch, they drew 1-1 with the Urchins, but they ended up winning the resulting penalty shootout 5-4. And so they will face Braintree in the final at Colchester's Community Stadium on Tuesday the 21st of March. So let's take a quick look at the Essex Senior League now, shall we? There's some games on Friday night. A goalless draw between Buckhurst Hill and Stansted finished Romford 3, Barking 4, and Woodford Town 3, Stanbury Rovers 0. Saturday saw Saffron Walden Town. No, I'm looking at the wrong one. That was a midweek fixture, sorry. Clapton 0, Ilford 5. FC Clapton 5, Southend Manor 0. So heavy defeats for the bottom two. Little Oakley 1, Athletic Newham 2, Redbridge beat Housted Town 2-0, Saffron Walden 3, Salbridgeworth Town 0, and Takeley 0, Leaders Enfield 3, and there was 1-0 win for White Ensign at West Essex. Tuesday night saw a cup game between Barking and Stansted that finished 1-1. Buckhurst Hill 1, Woodford Town 4. Saffron Walden Town 2, FC Clacton 3, and West Essex 0, Takeley 4 was the other league result that night. And on Wednesday night, it finished Romford 0, Enfield 2, and White Ensign 4, Salbridgeworth Town 2. So, the league now looks like this. Enfield still top, 5 points clear of Redbridge. They've both played 26, Enfield on 64, Redbridge on 59, Clacton, Woodford Town and West Essex also in the top five. Bottom two, as you were, Southend Manor at the bottom, followed by Clapton. So let's just take a quick look at the Furlough Nun as well. And Saturday's action saw a 1-1 draw between Barkingside and Sporting Bangor United. Basildon beat Wivenhoe Town. Basildon Town had its 3-1. Finished Benfleet 2, Stanbury Pegasus 0. Burnham Ramblers 1, Newby Forest 2. Cannonswood 0, Leaders Fremford 1. Cox United 2, North West London 2. Hackney Wick 1, St Margaret's B 4. Tower Hamlets 0, Enfield Borough 2. Wormley Rovers 5, Park View 0 was Saturday's results. And The week's action saw there was a League Cup tie on Tuesday night between Wormley Rovers and Ipswich Wanderers from the Third Lone Premier Division, and a thumping victory for Ipswich Wanderers. They beat their host 9-2 and knocked them out of the cup. There were some league games last night. Benfleet drew 1-1 with Enfield Borough. It finished Hackney Wick 1, Cannonswood 1, May and Baker 3, North West London 1. And a defeat for Frentford last night. They lost 2-1 at Sporting Bengal United. But Frentford still top by 9 points. They've played 29 on 67 points. Second, Wormley, they've played 28 and won 58. Basildon Town in third, they've played 26 and won 54. Stanway Pegasus fourth, played 30, 53 points. Sporting Bengal United have played 28 and won 53 points, and they are currently in fifth place. Going to have a look at some transfer news shortly after we've heard from the Arctic Monkeys. That's the Arctic Monkeys, and I bet you look good on the dance floor. 17 minutes to 8, it's a non-league out of Phoenix 98 FM. Just let you know what's happening after me tonight on Phoenix FM. Nikki Treffers is back between 8 and 10 with the Modern Essex Girl, and it's Gareth Williams, 10 till midnight. He is here with Bumper to Bumper. But on with the transfer news, and some news that came in this afternoon, actually. Kai Yearn, 17-year-old who Chelmsford City had on loan from Cambridge United, has been recalled by his parent club. He had two spells on loan with the Clarets this season from the EFL League One club, who are currently struggling against relegation from League One. And Yearn played what turned out to be his last game for City against Braintree in the Essex Senior Cup on Monday night, and he returns to the Abbey Stadium with immediate effect. Elsewhere, there's been a few comings and goings in the ESPN North, and Brentwood Town have said goodbye to Sam Park, who has left the club to join ESPN North rivals Heybridge Swifts. He's played 20 games for the Blues this season, scoring 2 goals. He'd been with the club since the age of 12 and made his first team debut back in 2019, but with recent change of management at the arena, he has moved on to Heybridge. Another arrival at Heybridge Swifts, rather controversial this one, Scott Kemp, the club captain at Maldon and Tiptree, who caused a bit of consternation amongst their supporters when Peter Taylor, the manager, announced he was releasing him last week. He has moved on to Heybridge Swifts, their local rivals, which obviously hasn't gone down very well with the Jammers supporters. Elsewhere in the ESPN North, there has been another move. Tilbury have signed Chase Grant from Grays Athletic. He'd only been with them since December after joining them from Welling Garden City. And he has been joined at Grays by Ricky Brennan, a player whose previous clubs include Waltham Abbey and East Thurrock United. Elsewhere, there's been a new rival at Grays Athletic. Jesse Olokolu has joined from Brighton East Sea Region, and he made his debut from the bench for them on Saturday as they beat another of his former clubs, Tilbury. And one other piece of transfer news. There is one here somewhere, if I can find it. Bear with me a second. Yes, it was one of Heybridge Swifts' players has moved on to Felix Noe and Walton United. Andy Fennell, who previously had a spell at Chelmsford City as well, but he has moved on from Heybridge to Felix Noe after managing 10 goals in 34 matches for Swifts this season, but he has decided to go.
Hi, it's Darren. Join me every Wednesday night for Reggae Revival. 2 hours of classic reggae, dub, and a sprinkling of lover's rock. Listen live on 98 FM, via the website, or catch up on Spotify. Wednesdays, 10 p.m. till midnight.
Reggae Revival on Phoenix FM.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
So I'm going to round off the show by looking ahead to this week's fixtures. And Friday night at Roots Hall, Southend United take on Barnet. There must have been some doubt as to whether that fixture would actually take place. But with the club having been saved at the 11th hour, we'll go ahead on Friday night at 7.45. Saturday sees Dagenham and Redbridge take on York City at the Chigwell Construction Stadium. And they're back there on Tuesday night with another home game, this time against Table Toppers and Hollywood big spenders Wrexham. That should be quite a match at the Chigwell Construction Stadium. Meanwhile, in the National League South on Saturday, Braintree Town are at home to Hampton and Richmond Borough. Chelmsford are at Eastbourne Borough, and bottom club Concord travel to fellow strugglers Chippenham Town, hoping to get themselves out of trouble. Chelmsford are at home on Monday night. They face Dulwich Hamlet at Melbourne Park, side just above the drop zone. Tuesday night sees Concord at home to Slough, while Braintree travel to Oxford City. Meanwhile, in the ESPN League Premier Division, on Saturday, Billericay Town have a home game against struggling Herne Bay. Avely face Carr Shorten at Parkside. Bowers and Pitsy continue their relegation fight. They entertain Cray Wanderers at Len Salmon Stadium. Canvey Island are at home to Potters Bar Town, and Hornchurch face Lewis at Bridge Avenue. Tuesday sees Canvey Island travel to league leaders Bishop Stortford, and meanwhile Hornchurch, they have a home match against Kingstonian. In Eastbourne North, meanwhile, on Saturday, Holbridge Sports have a difficult trip to AFC Sudbury. Basildon United are at home to Bury Town. Cogshall face Lowestoft. East Thurrock at home to Stowmarket. Haybridge Smith travel to Goulston. It's Malden and Tiptree versus Brentwood Town. Tilbury face league leaders Hashtag United, hoping to make it 19 wins in a row. Whittam are playing Great Wakering, and Grays Athletic have an away match at Wroxham. And on Tuesday night, Basildon United face Grays Athletic, and Whittam travel to struggling Goulston. Meanwhile, in the Southern League Division 1 Central, on Saturday, Walthamstow will be looking to strengthen their place in the playoffs. They are away at Hadley. Also, Waltham Abbey, they are not in action on Saturday, actually. I thought they had a game, but apparently not. Abbey are playing on Tuesday night, though, away at Hadley. Essex Senior League, just taking a look at the weekend fixtures there. Clapton, West Essex and Woodford Town versus Little Oakley on Friday night. Leaders Enfield take on Saffron Walden Town on Saturday, whilst Athletic Newham face Buckhurst Hill. Barking take on Ilford. FC Clacton versus Stanway. Houston versus Saltbridgeworth. Second place Redbridge take on another promotion chaser, Stansted. Takeley face a bottom club, Southend Manor, whilst White Ensign have home fixture against Romford. Tuesday Tuesday night, he's Clacton take on Ilford, Saffron Walden take on Romford, and Takeley take on Little Oakley. And Wednesday night, Clapton at home to Stansted, White Ensign versus Athletic Newham, and Woodford Town take on West Essex. And finally, in the Furlough Nun Division 1 South, on Friday night, it's a game between May and Baker and Cogshaw United. Saturday sees Barkingside take on St Margaretsbury, Parkview versus Newbury Forest, Stanway Pegasus versus Burnham Ramblers, Tower Hamlets versus Basildon Town, and Wivernoe Town versus Wormley Rovers. Some games next Wednesday. One in League Cup, Basildon Town take on Woodbridge Town. Barkingside versus Hackney Wick, Benfleet versus North West London, Cannonswood versus Newbury Forest, and Tower Hamlets, they take on Park View. So that's the fixtures for the coming week. Phoenix Sports is back on Saturday. Although I'm taking a break this week, I'm not going to be here, so I will leave you in the capable hands of Andy Gardner, who is going to be looking after things. And I shall speak to you next on Thursday of next week, when I shall be back with the non-league hour, all being well, between 7 and 8 p.m. I hope you can join Andy on Saturday afternoon. He is going to be here between 3 and 6 p.m. As I said, coming up next, Nikki Treffers is in the house with the Modern Essex Girl. She is on the air between 8 and 10 p.m., so stick around for her. I'm going to sign off with a classic from the Isley Brothers now. This is Harvest for the World. Thanks for listening. Take care and a very good night to you.
I wanna know now.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.